Good morning, Central Baptist. How are you today? All right? Great. Good to be with you today. I've been behind this pulpit before, but it's been a long time ago. Now, we've worshiped with you on several occasions, my wife and I, but I've done weddings in this church, and the last time I spoke here was for a baccalaureate service, which was in 1994, so it's been a few years since I've been here, but it's great to be with you today. I want to talk to you this morning about having a favorite Bible verse, and most Christians do have favorite Bible verses. Maybe it's John 3:16, for God so loved the world. We could just stop right there. I mean, that's the gospel all together, isn't it? For God so loved the world that what? That he gave his only begotten Son, so that whosoever would believe in him wouldn't perish, but what? Have everlasting life. Wow, what a promise that is. I love that verse. Or it might be, we're talking about revival in America. It might be from 2 Chronicles 7:14, where if my people... Now, you got to listen to this, because so often we talk about, oh, we need revival in America. Well, it's laid out in the Bible, but all you got to do is follow what it says. And there's steps to it, and... We want to leave the steps out. We're just waiting for God to do something. And God said, no, I'm waiting on you to do something. What's the verse say? It says, if my people who are called by my name, here it is, will humble themselves, will pray, will seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways. What a great verse that is, and a great promise. And we can have revival in America if we'll do what God tells us to do. We've just got to follow it. Maybe your favorite verse comes from Hebrews 13:5, where it says, Jesus says, I'll never, never, never leave you, and I'll never forsake you. What a promise that is. When we're going through those hard times, when we're going through difficulties, when we're having doubts, when we're having heartache, we know that Jesus is with us, and he'll never, ever leave us. But this morning, I want us to concentrate on Philippians 4:13. In Philippians 4:13, it says what? I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Oh, how we look at that, and we that Bible verse speaks to us, and we think, man, I can do everything. I can do everything through Christ who strengthens me. It reminds me of a story. Mama was coming home from work, and she gets home, and her five-year-old daughter greets her at the door, and very excited, and she said, Mommy, Mommy, I know what I want to be when I grow up. Well, what is that, honey? I want to be a princess. Oh, honey, that's great, but you know what? Now in America, you can be anything you want to be. You can become a doctor, a lawyer, a bank. You can even become the president of the United States. You can become anything you want to be. The little five-year-old looked a little troubled and began to think. She smiled, Mommy, I know what I want to be. What's that, honey? I want to be a horse. Hey, that's what we're becoming in America. We think we can be whatever we think we want to be. Oh, how dangerous that is. How dangerous that is. Because you see, to understand this very important verse, we cannot take it out of the context in which Paul gave it and why he shared that. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Philippians chapter 4. But I want to start with verse 10, if we would. In verse 10, Paul is writing this. Now, before I read it, we need to understand, of course, where Paul was when he was writing this. He was not in the Bahamas on a beach somewhere. He wasn't in the French Riviera. He was in a prison cell. Okay? Not a very nice place to be, is it? All right, let's go from there. Paul says, I rejoice greatly in the Lord that I at last... That at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. That verse is such an important verse because it tells us about contentment, about being happy, about getting through, about dealing with the problems of life. Because you see, the Bible has never taught us that you're not going to have any trouble. Have you ever had any trouble in your life? Sure you have. Sure you have. Well, this is the remedy that the Lord has given us, and Paul is sharing that remedy with us, that how we can have contentment in this life, how we can get through, how we can deal with the anxieties and the problems and the heartaches and the pains and all that there is, that we need to learn how to find contentment in the will of God. Paul was in the will of God. Where was he? He was in a prison cell. Paul was in the will of God. He was going to go to the executioner's block. He was in the will of God, and he said, I have learned, whatever my circumstances are, I have learned to be content. Because if I'm in God's will, I'm going to be content. Reminds me of in one of my churches, I had an elderly gentleman there that had been a music evangelist. He was very well known across the state, sang in a lot of churches and revivals, and he had retired, and his wife was in the hospital, and I was driving him to see his wife, and we were driving along, and all of a sudden it became very quiet. And I turned and looked at him, and I could see tears beginning to roll down his eyes. And I said, brother, what's wrong? He said, preacher, I'm going to tell you something. He said, I've had a great ministry. I've had a great career. God has blessed me. But he said, I've never been happy. I've never been content. Because God had called me to preach. And I ran away from His calling. And I've never been happy since. And how that can get to us, how that can hurt us. For that verse is not the conclusion, but it is the key to finding contentment. Next slide, please. Because this morning I want us to look at you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. How important that is. First thing is because He enables you. The next slide. There you go. All right. Because we need to learn that God enables us. If we're in His will, the Holy Spirit is there to support us, to guide us, to give us direction. There was an elderly lady that had been a pianist in a church for many, many years. And she'd gotten to the point where she couldn't go to church any longer. And it really broke her heart. And she'd asked the preacher, and he came over and was talking to her. And she said, I don't know what I'm going to do. And he said, what do you think God would have you to do? What has God given you? She says, well, all I can do is play the piano. He said, what do you mean that's all you can do? That's a great gift. Play the piano. And then just like that, the Holy Spirit spoke to her. So she took out an ad in the local newspaper. And that ad said, pianist will play hymns by phone daily for those who are sick and despondent. And this service is free, and she put her telephone number. And people began to call her, and those who were also homebound, and those who were despondent and had problems, and they would call her and say, and ask her to play their favorite hymn, and she would. And within a matter of months, she was reaching hundreds of people, playing those hymns for them and reaching them, because music can touch the heart. It truly can, and she did it. So we must be yielded to the Holy Spirit. We understand and know that when we have accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, that the Holy Spirit comes to live and abide in us. But so often we forget about His presence in our lives. We forget that He's there to help us, to comfort us, to give us direction and all of that. So we must be yielded to the Holy Spirit. And we need to to be willing to try whatever God is putting there for us to do. As this lady, she tried playing that piano over the phone. We must be willing to try. Excuses won't get it. Now, you remember there's a fellow in the Bible by the name of Moses and all the great things that he had done, but you remember how he kind of started out when he went to that burning bush and God had laid on him what he wanted to do, and he began to say, well, God, I can't do that. I'm not qualified to do that. Not me. It's got to be somebody else. I can't even speak. And God, in other words, said, hey, that's not an excuse. I'll take care of it. But you see, we always want to come up with excuses. Reminds me of a story of a man who bought a brand new Mercedes convertible. He went to the dealership and picked it up, and put the top down. It was a beautiful day, and he decided to get out on the interstate. And he starts off with his Mercedes just roaring down the highway, and he's going 70 miles an hour. And he says, you know what, I think I'm going to see what this thing will really do. So he steps on the gas pedal, and he's now up to 80, 90, 100, 110, 120, 130, and he's just cruising along, having him a big time. And he looks in the rearview mirror, and what did he see? Yeah, those red and blue lights just going on, and he says, I don't believe he can keep up with me. So he stepped on that gas. He got up to over 150 miles an hour, looked back, and that trooper was still right on his tail. He said, well, I better pull over. He said, I'm going to get in a lot of trouble if I don't, as if he wasn't already. And so the trooper gets out and walks up to the driver's side and asks for his license, looks at it. Trooper said, he said, I tell you what. He said, you're my last pullover today. I'm beat. I'm exhausted. I don't want to write up any more paperwork. He said, I've been a trooper for 27 years. If you can give me an excuse that I haven't heard in 27 years, I'm going to let you go. The guy started thinking and thinking. Well, I'll tell you what it was, officer. What's that? He said, last week my wife ran off with a state trooper. And I was afraid you were bringing her back. Excuses. We've got excuses, don't we? Oh, I can't do that. I don't have enough education. I can't do that. I can't, you know, I don't have the ability. And on we go. God doesn't want to hear your excuses. What God wants to hear is, God, if you're with me, we'll do it. I can do all things through Christ. How important that is. You have to have the right attitude. You have to have the triple A's, the above average attitude. In Philippians 2, it tells us, 5, that we need to have the mind of Christ. And what that means is we need to have the attitude of Christ, the attitude that he had toward mankind, the attitude that he had toward the Father. You remember when he was in the garden and he was just crying? It was blood that was coming out, not just tears. Jesus didn't want to go to the cross. He didn't want to die. Do you blame him? No. But what did he say? But Father, if it's your will, I'll do it. Father, I'll do it. Have the attitude of Christ. Out in the desert, you're going to see buzzards, vultures flying around, and you're going to see hummingbirds. The vultures will fly around looking for what? Dead, rotting meat. They can smell it from miles around, and they'll just fly around until they can find it. And that's all they're looking for is dead meat. On the other hand, you'll have the little hummingbird. He's not just floating around in the air. He's buzzy. He's busy. He's going here. He's going there. What's he looking for? He's looking for the blooms. He's looking for those desert flowers so there he can find life in newness. The one is looking for death. The other is looking for life. The vulture is going to find death because that's what he's looking for. The hummingbird's going to find life in those new blossoms. Why? Because that is what he's looking for. What are we looking for? What is our attitude about what God would have us to do? All right, the first thing is that God enables you. The next one is that God empowers you. You can do all things. You can do all things because God empowers you. Christ is the one who gives you the strength, supernatural strength, power to arise from the usual. John Garfield, who was the 20th president of the United States, he was only a president for a matter of months. He was assassinated. But before he became president, he was the president of a small college, Hiram College. And one day, a father came in to Mr. Garfield, and a wealthy man, and he said, "President," he said, I want to send my son here, but I want to get that boy through here as quick as possible. Do you have a fast track? Do you have something that maybe can narrow down the classes that he can take? Just get him through." President Garfield said to him, "Well, sir, I can certainly do that. I can give him that kind of course study. But you see, when God makes an oak tree, he may take 100 years to develop it. Now, when God makes a squash, he only takes a couple of months. What do you want out of your son? Do you want him to be an oak tree, or do you want him to be a squash? We have too many people today that would rather be a squash than an oak tree. They don't want to rise above the usual. They want it just to be the same. And there are so many churches that are that way. We're just going to do things the way we've always done them forever and ever and ever. But we need to realize that we've got to sometimes make some alterations. Sometimes we have to make changes. Sometimes we have to do the things that are difficult and a little bit harder. Supernatural strength comes from Christ. I don't know if you have ever seen some of these great big bulldozers along the road. And some people think that the men that operate those, they just go out there, jump up on them things, turn the key, hit the starter button, and the thing starts up. But they don't work that way. They have what are called pony motors. They're a much smaller engine that you start the little engine first. And then when that's up and running, then you kick it into the big engine, and then it will get started, and then it will go. We need to realize that we are the pony motor. We're the little one. But then when we get activated, when we start to do something, that's when the big engine gets involved and it begins to operate and begins to work. Remember, Jesus had been in his ministry, had been going around and he'd been healing the sick, performing many miracles. But then he went home. And in Matthew 13, he says this, and Jesus said to them, "Only in his hometown, in his own house, is a prophet without honor." You see, when Jesus started his ministry, even his own brothers didn't believe him. They didn't believe him. But then it said this, "And he did not do many miracles there." Why? Because of their lack of faith. Hey, God wants to do so much in your life. So many things he wants to do for you. But because of your lack of faith, he can't do it. He wants to. He wanted to go to his hometown. I'm sure he knew many people in his hometown. Some of those people when he was younger as a child, and then as he became an adult and was a carpenter there and worked for several years, that he knew them personally and he knew their heartaches and their physical illnesses. And he wanted to go to them because he loved them so much. They were special to him and he wanted to heal them. But he couldn't. Not because he couldn't do it, but because of their faith. It lacked. We have to know that it comes from him. The supernatural strength also... It wants amazing results. Amazing results. And when God works in your life, you can see amazing results. I've seen in churches that they would have amazing results because they got in the will of God and called upon Him for His power so that they could do so many things. Story of a preacher who died and gone to heaven. We shouldn't be a surprise, I hope. But when he was up there, he looked over here and there was a New York cab driver who had a higher position than he did. Now, he didn't like that. Well, how can that be? I've devoted my whole life to the church. So he goes to St. Peter and he said, St. Peter, we need to have talk. This is not right. I have served my congregation for many, many, many years. And this guy, this cab driver, has a higher position than I do. And St. Peter said, that's right. That's right. Because you see, we reward results. Let me ask you this, St. Peter said to him. When you would get up and preach in your church, what happened? And being honest, now that he was in heaven, he said, well, most of them fell asleep. That's right. That's right. But when those people rode in that taxi cab, they didn't fall asleep, and they prayed a lot and a lot and a lot. He got results. All right. Not only does He empower us, but the next one, the third one is that God encourages you. You can do all things because God encourages you to do that. First of all, we understand that there are unlimited opportunities if we'll take them. I can think back on my life, and I'm sure you have too. Have there been opportunities that presented themselves to you, but you didn't take them? Yeah. Yeah. I'm reminded of my mother had a cousin, Maxine, and Maxine married a young man, but the family wasn't real happy about it, to be honest, because Mitch was Jewish and didn't have a job. And the family just thought, honey, you're wasting your time. He's never going to amount to anything. Well, her brothers had a construction firm, and they gave Mitch a job driving a dump truck. Great. Well, now back in the 50s, mobile homes just began to start being sold. And Mitch saw this as an opportunity, and he took all the money that he had saved and borrowed as much as he could, and he opened up a very small mobile home sales lot. Everybody thought, you're crazy, man. You're going to lose all your money. But Mitch worked at that while he still drove the dump truck. And as a matter of year, in the 1980s, Mitch had turned that one little lot into 24 sales lots in New York, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Michigan. And Mitch thought to himself, it's about time to retire and I can sell this. And he sold his business for $10 million after taxes and everything else. Well, you would think he had taken that opportunity and turned it into something great, which he did. But he just didn't enjoy being retired. Now, I don't know. You know, you think, well, man, if I had $10 million, I'd retire and not do anything. Well, that wasn't Mitch. There was a big flood that had happened up in Pennsylvania. And many of the department stores and other stores, a lot of their inventories were damaged. And Mitch found out he could go in there and buy that inventory. And then he would resell it. He opened up, it was called, if I remember right, Owl Discount. And he became a mini Walmart, if you would. And he sold that, and I have no idea how much he sold that. Matter of fact, he never gave me any of the $10 million either. But opportunities are there. I'm sure there are opportunities in this church right now that needs you, that God would want to put you there. It's an opportunity that you should take. There are also unlimited potential if we claim it. In Ephesians, it tells us this, and I love this verse. This is what predestination is all about right here in this verse. Let me explain it to you. For we are God's workmanship. I like that. So if anybody says to you, you're a real piece of work, you say, yes, I am. I'm God's piece of work, okay? You are God's workmanship. What? Created in Christ Jesus to do what? To do good works. What works? Which God prepared in advance for you. There are things, many things, that God has prepared for you. I hear the excuses. No, I can't do anything. Oh, really? Yes, you can. Yes, you can. There are many things. Reminds me of Caleb. Well, Moses as well. A lot of us. I was preaching in a church a couple of weeks ago, and I got down, a lady came up to me, and she said, Preacher, she said, boy, I really like the color of your hair. I said, yeah, I dye it that way every day. And she believed me. You know, well, there's a lot of us who have silver hair. Some of us have no hair. It doesn't matter. Just because you're a certain age does not mean God can't use you. You see, Moses was in his 80s when God called him. Caleb was in his 80s when he took his mountain. Age has absolutely nothing to do with it. For you give that excuse to God. Reminds me of when I was I went to Moorhead and majored in business and had a professor that had been a part of, I think he was in Poland during the Second World War and had come to America. But whenever we'd start to answer his questions, he'd out when you'd kind of astray, you know, you knew you didn't really know the answer, so you started filling in the blanks with just stuff out of the top of your head. And he, no blah blah. And that's what God's going to say to you. Well, God, I can't do that because I'm so old. No, blah, blah, I don't want to hear it. You can do it. You can do it. He's told us that time and time and again. Unlimited potential. Unlimited results if we will attempt to do what God has called us to do. I'm going to close with a letter that Bob Schuller, who used to have the Crystal Cathedral, of course, Dr. Schuller has passed away, and sadly enough, that church has had to sell the Crystal Cathedral and all of that. But at one time, because he always had this statement, and he said, any fool can count the seeds in an apple, but only God can count the apples in a seed. How true that is. So he'd say that quite often. And so one of his listeners had written him a letter, and he was opening it up in his office, and this is the way, the guy's name was Ansley Mueller. But anyway, dear Dr. Schuller, he said, I'm sending my letter with a soybean inside. I lost over half my soybean crop. It was a bad year. It was so wet I couldn't get half of it harvested, and it didn't develop. So at the end of the year, I would walk through the fields and to try to pick up a bushel here, a bushel there. Then I saw standing by itself the most extraordinary, unusual-looking soybean plant. So I walked over and I shook it, you know, I was shocked by its size and its good looks. And I went and carefully picked off the pods. There were 202. And I opened them and counted 503 soybeans. I took them home. I kept them in a pan all winter and they dried out. And the next spring, they just seemed special to me. I took those 503 soybeans and planted them in a plot behind my house. And when October came, I harvested 32 pounds. I dried those, and the next year I planted those 32 pounds. When I harvested them, I had 2,409 pounds. And later planted them on a 68-acre field. I harvested them and received 2,100 bushels and cashed it in for $15,000. Now, Dr. Schuler, one plant, 4 years later, $15,000. Not too bad, is it? So, Dr. Schuler, here's your bean. What is God saying to you? Here's your bean. Here's your bean. What is he saying in your ear right now? I need you. I need you. I've got something for you to do. Maybe it's to teach children. Maybe it's to teach adults. Maybe it's to call somebody on the telephone and read the Bible to them, to pray with them. You know, through all of this COVID, I was talking to a church not too long ago, and they were certainly concerned about COVID and said, what do we do? And I said, well, one thing that I would recommend you do is to get a list of all your church members, to call them up and to say, how you doing? What's going on? How can I pray for you? Wouldn't it be nice to have somebody to call you and say, I want to pray with you? Is that hard to do? No. But what a ministry that would be, to let people know, in this time especially, we care about you. We care about what's going on. Is God saying to you, here's your opportunity. Would you take it? Would you take that opportunity? Would you do what I've asked you to do? Would you go where I want you to go? It doesn't have to be difficult. It can be something very, very simple, very easy. All you have to do is say, I can do it. I can do it. Because what did the verse say? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We're going to have a time of invitation. Musicians, would you come? We're going to invite you. One, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I implore you right now to make that decision, to say, yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus, I want to come. I want to accept you as my Lord and Savior. I want to follow you in believer's baptism. I want to become a part of the church. Why? To serve you, Lord. To serve you. Maybe you would come this morning and to rededicate your life to Him. Say, Lord, here I am again. I need to refresh my commitment to you right now, today. I need to come. Maybe you want to join this church and come from another. If you come, I'll direct you to the right people, whatever it is. Maybe God is saying, I have something for you to do. You need to get on your knees and talk to God about it and say, God, I'll do it. Let's pray. Father, we come today. Lord, we know that you love us. We know that you care about us. Lord, there may be someone here today that needs you so desperately. They're hurting so much inside. Lord, let them come today. Come to the cross of Jesus. Lord, there may be someone today that needs to come to be a part of this church and to serve you here and to do all those things that you would have them to do. Lord, there's someone this morning that is discouraged. They're unhappy. They're not content. They're discontent. Lord, let them come and we'll pray about it together so that they can have that peace Paul had in a prison cell. Whatever it is, Lord, let them come. We ask it in Christ's name together. Amen.